This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hour number two. Thanks for joining us as we continue along on SportsMap Radio. Again, NFL Draft Round 1 tonight. The show, the pageantry, the red carpet. Four NBA playoff games from last night. Two teams moving on. The New York Knicks beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in five games. Another good night for Jalen Brunson and the Knicks as they advance to the Eastern Conference semifinals, where they'll get Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat, who knocked off the Milwaukee Bucks. Over in the West, Memphis stays alive with a victory in Game 5 against the Lakers, but Los Angeles still leading that series 3-2. They'll have Game 6 coming up back in Los Angeles. And the Golden State Warriors went on the road last night, and they beat the Sacramento Kings. They won Game 5. They now lead 3-2. The home team had won every game in the series prior to last night, and it was the first road win for Golden State in this series, and a team that did not play very well on the road. Does that mean that going back to San Francisco, that this series is done? I think it is. I think this is what Golden State wanted to see out of this team. If it had happened in Game 1 or 2, I think we would have seen this series be over by now. I think it did not, and therefore we had to wait to see if Golden State could win. A series ain't a series until the home team loses and the home team finally lost. And in that case, I think Golden State's experience of being in the playoffs is coming through. I just don't think in a season that went that up and down for Steve Kerr and the Warriors, but most people, not ignoring it, but not thinking it was the end of the world either. It was kind of a rather interesting 82 games for Golden State, because we knew that they were a really good team at home, and they were not a very good team on the road, but we sort of dismissed it because they won four titles. Like, in the end, this is, you know, when they get to the playoffs, this is when everything turns up and everything goes forward. But that being said, can Sacramento be bold enough to put this loss at home aside, where they couldn't light the beam, and go, we'll get this back home for Game 7. Now, I think they can. I mean, De'Aaron Fox was not bad last night for a guy with a broken finger. But in the end, I think it's Golden State's strength that they've got this experience. They know who they are. They know the circumstances. They know the rhythm of the playoffs. That's one of the keys. This is not a Mike Brown thing. Mike Brown knows the rhythm of the playoffs better than anybody. I mean, Lord knows. I mean, he's been to so many. As an assistant with Golden State, head coach at Cleveland, he knows the rhythm of the playoffs. But the players don't know the rhythm of the playoffs, right? The players as a whole, it's not the same as when you've gone through knowing what the postseason means. So the West, still those two series still closing out. In the East, we've got Boston, the only team left to wrap up their series. And the winner of the Atlanta-Boston series will get Philadelphia, that has been very well rested, given that they have a four-game sweep of the Brooklyn Nets. Set it in hour one, I think Mike Budenholzer is going to pay the price for this. This was a bad series to lose in five games as the number one seed. To lose it with two games in which you had Giannis back and not taking advantage of the fact that you had Giannis out in game two and you still found a way to win that game and showed how you could win that game with a stellar performance that you couldn't carry over into South Florida all for games 3 and 4. You bring it back home with a chance to, all right, our back's against the wall, but let's take it one game at a time. We still have a team that is on paper better than this Miami team that is playing without Tyler Hero. And for whatever reason, he makes dumb decisions, and they pay the price by losing that game. It is a lot to take in the first round of both the NBA and the NHL playoffs. There's games thrown at you all over the place. Last night they had four games on the schedule. It's hard to keep up. It's hard to follow everything. Sometimes you're just watching one game and something else is happening on another game. Sometimes you're more interested in the game you're watching than any of the other series. You know, when you lose, eight teams after the first round, and things start to get a little bit more spaced out and a little bit more isolated, you can pay a little bit more attention. But those who have been following this Milwaukee-Miami series have seen the excellent play of Jimmy Butler to carry this team. but time and time again, wrong decisions that were made by the Milwaukee Bucks in this series. And I think in the end, Budenholzer pays the price for this. You cannot let the window of opportunity close because you have the wrong guy running the ship, even if that guy has won you a championship. You know, we're talking in hour number one about whether or not Giannis thought the season was a failure, and he said no. Right? Because in sports, you win, you lose, you have good days, you have bad days. But the organization has to know what it is. Every organization knows what it is. As I was saying in hour one, if you're the Houston Rockets, what are you? You are a young basketball team that's trying to get cap space to try to build on something, and now you have Ime Udoka. Why was Ime Udoka considering Houston as a better place to land than Toronto? Because of what Houston is, a young team with salary cap space and a good chance to land Victor Wembanyama in the draft. Even if they don't, there are things to like about where the Rockets are growing into. So you understand what you are as a franchise. When you're the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, what are you? You're a championship team. You're not a, let's go to the playoffs and see what happens. Let's go to the playoffs in an even tournament. Just, I don't know, whatever. You are a championship level team. You are a win the title team. As we said about the Eastern Conference, again, Boston, Milwaukee, 1A, 1A plus. Philadelphia, 1B. I don't even want to grade everything after that. I don't think any of the teams bottom had a chance at the start of this playoffs. Now what are we seeing? Right? We're seeing Boston. Oh my God, now they got their hands full with Atlanta. They got to go win a road game just to get out of this thing. And if they don't, they got to go back to a game seven. Milwaukee's out in five. Philadelphia is the only team in the East that fulfilled, well, you could even say, now you could say the Knicks. But the Knicks were a five seed. The Philadelphia 76ers were the only team that really fulfilled what it was supposed to do. They beat Brooklyn in every game during the regular season. They beat them in the playoffs. So that being said, it's fun in this opening round. It's not fun if you're a Milwaukee fan, but it's fun.
And now we got the series that is more entertaining, Heat-Knicks.
Heat-Knicks, way more entertaining.
Way more entertaining than Bucks-Knicks. Who would have cared?
You think Jeff Van Gundy and Pat Riley will come back out?
I hope so.
Yeah.
But, you know, I hope
Jeff Van Gundy will grab onto a leg. And
I hope that's how they're introduced on the court.
Why not?
Pat Riley starts walking out on the court to, tip his hat, wave his hand, and then there's Van Gundy just grabbing his leg.
That used to be a big rivalry. That was a big deal back in the day. I mean, it was, they hated,
which is funny to think, because I still see the Heat as a brand new team.
I know. Well, yeah. they've been around since 88.
I know they have. But I still feels like,
they've won a number of championships.
You know, it's no Lakers Celtics, you know.
Right. In the late 90s, they were in the Eastern Conference Finals, I think, in three or four consecutive years or something like that. Right? I mean, or first rounds, or I shouldn't say the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they were in the first round and second round. And I think they did play in the, I think they might have played in one conference finals and a couple semis. But nevertheless, they had a huge rivalry back in the day. So, the Heat and Knicks, goodness gracious. Do I get more Spike Lee on my TV?
I hope so.
Is that what I'm getting? Oh, goodness. More How Great New York Is? Is that what I'm going to get?
Yeah,
all the media,
I mean, but you know,
telling
I mean,
me how awesome the Knicks are?
You know, there's always somebody on the Heat that needs to be hated, and Jimmy will be hated.
Yeah, well.
I mean,
yeah.
Spike Lee will go right to Jimmy, and it's the perfect candidate because Jimmy will probably talk back to Spike.
I will never forget Spike Lee going on ESPN.
And Reggie Miller? Oh, no.
No. Forget that. He went on ESPN. It wasn't that long ago. I think you and I played clips of it where he was complaining that he didn't get to go into the garden the way he normally went into the garden. Was that a COVID thing where they were like, you can't go in the elevator? Or was
no,
that, before
that was,
COVID?
I think that was, you know, you're, I guess, like a knock on his celebrityness.
Right. Like, they thought that was so important. They had him come on the set to explain. And he explained it like a rich person explains a problem without any context that the average citizen could not care less about rich people's problems. He was like, I normally go on 34th Street and I normally take the elevator down. But when I took the elevator down, they told me I had to go back up to 35th Street. Now, why do I have to go? Like, okay, I have to stand in line at to get into my arena with a whole bunch of other people. And I have to walk through a concourse and normally have to climb up a couple of escalators to get to my seat. And you're complaining that the celebrity elevator was closed? Like, he just literally thought America would be outraged that Spike Lee couldn't get to his seat at Madison Square Garden. Now I got another series of that coming up with the Heat Knicks.
So I know this was in 2020.
Was it? Okay.
March 3rd of 2020. So before COVID hit.
Just before COVID.
Yeah.
Just before
COVID.
Well,
this is him in Madison Square Garden outside the elevator.
Okay. No one told me. I'm staying here. Now, you want to arrest me like Charles Owen? You go
to shit. Come on. He's like, I pay good money for these seats. Why don't I get the elevator? Oh, goodness. And then, of course, ESPN was like, you need to explain that. You
Why
need to come on and break that down.
Changed, at least towards you.
I'm being harassed by James, though I don't know why.
Let me ask, what about the press release did you object to that made you say, what did the press release say that you said that's not true?
That me and him, after he came to me, this, you know, at halftime he leaves, and he always walks across the court.
Yep. James Dolan wanted to kick him out of Madison Square Garden.
Dolan needs to come back.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue along. Good Thursday to you. Good round one NFL draft day tonight. Now, that's good. That's great. What's the good
of the day? That's fantastic. And,
yes.
I'm not sure. This good may not be as good as the first round of the NFL draft meeting tonight.
Right, sure.
But the good of the day is that there's a New Jersey Little League that is setting forth a rule that could possibly be adopted across the country.
Oh, okay.
And that is, if a parent decides to confront an umpire during the game, then that parent must volunteer to be an ump for 3 games before being allowed back in the stands as a spectator.
Hey, that's wonderful. That's great. I am not afraid to admit my biggest regret was getting on an umpire during one of my kids' little
games. Of course.
It's my biggest regret. If I could find that young man, I would buy him dinner. I don't know who he is, but my kid played on a little league team where they lost every game, and in one game that they were going to win, the umpire got intimidated by the other coach who was screaming. It was one of those things where that kid didn't touch the plate thing.
Right. Yeah.
And the umpire, you know, the winning run came across, and my son's team was going crazy. And then the other coach was so furious, started yelling at the kid that the other kid didn't touch the plate. So the catcher tagged him. And then the kid just went out, and that was the end of the inning. And then they lost. They later lost. And I got on to the kid, and I regret it to this day. I mean, that was 12 years ago. I mean, I still hate myself for doing
that. No, I've been there.
Hated.
I lost my mind. It wasn't against an umpire, but it was against a referee in soccer while coaching a game.
See, that might be different. You might
the referees who volunteer to coach these games are normally kids.
Yeah. Yeah, so. this guy was a young guy too.
Yeah, this kid was like 16, 17, and you know, he called there was a few questionable calls that I knew I was right about that he didn't call, but it got to a point where they had to not restrain me and not kick me out of the game, but to the point where I had to sit down.
Oh, you did?
I could still be on the sideline. There was one of the senior officials who came over and said, sir, you're going to need to calm down.
Yeah.
Because I was livid because we were second. The team was first. If we won, we would be in first and they would be in second. And it was smooth sailing for the rest of the season. So,
yeah, it's
I know a lot of other, there's a lot, plenty of parents who wouldn't feel a bit guilty by doing that, but I did. I did. So, yeah, I like this. I like this. Force yourself to, you have to umpire.
So you got to umpire three games before allowed back in the stands as a spectator. So,
That's great.
And I can see that being adopted, except here in the great state of Texas. That never happened.
You know what stunk? you know why I regret, like, the kids were disappointed they lost.
Right.
But all of us parents were more disappointed than they were. They just wanted the ice cream.
Yeah, no, and, I mean, that's the thing. Kids get over it. Kids forget it so quickly.
And we're like, I can't believe and everybody was.
If that call went this way.
Oh, we were all, for nine-year-old kids playing Little League Baseball. Little League Baseball for fun. We were losing our minds. You know, because Major League scouts were all in the stands.
That's
ready
right,
to
exactly.
sign our kids to the minors.
Nowadays, like when I'm coaching a team, you know, each season, since it's rec league, you know, you get a different set of players all the time. And I start off my parent meeting the same way every single time. And I've been doing it for the last 20 years is that I just let the parents know, it's like, listen, no matter what, your kid is not getting a scholarship at the end of the season.
Right, exactly.
I promise you that. You know, and I'm talking because, you know, the kids I'm coaching right now, they're all 6 years old. So they're not getting a scholarship. So let's just cheer them on. Let's have fun. And, you know, all I'm hoping for is that they love the game.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, that's great. That's
so,
a good rule.
We'll have to wait and see.
That's a good rule. What's the bad?
This is a good.
Oh, it's a good. Okay.
It's a good with a tinge of bad. It's just a slight tinge because I've brought up something like this before, and I think something needs to be done about it. But if you missed it or if you haven't seen it in the headlines in SportsCenter or reading about it anywhere, the Pirates' Drew Maggi, I believe his last name is Maggi. I don't think it's Magi. Mm-hmm. Was a career minor leaguer. He spent 13 seasons, Tony, in the minor leagues.
Oh, goodness.
And he was finally called up, and he had his first plate appearance last night. And he ended up striking out in his first plate appearance, but he was issued a pitch clock violation for not being ready in time because the fans were cheering for him so much.
We've done this before.
We did this with Cody Bellinger in his first time back at Dodger Stadium, where Cody Bellinger was issued. And and we had this conversation before, too, where it was like, you know, it's like, yeah, we can't issue that slippery slope. But I don't know. I think there's certain things that it's like, you know, this isn't, I mean, this is a guy who spent 13 seasons in the minor leagues. And
okay, why are these players, though? Why can't these players just do what they want to, what they have to do and let the crowd wave it? Like, why can't they just go to the plate and let the crowd do what the crowd does? But they continue the game. Like, why did Cody Bellinger feel like he had to acknowledge the crowd? Why did this guy feel like he had to take his time to soak it in? Because I'm with you and everybody. There are moments where you want to pause and enjoy it. But Major League Baseball, that is a dangerous
precedent. No, it is.
Because it really allows the crowd to control the pace of the game.
I understand that aspect, but it's just a shame that he was 0-1 before he really got his first pitch.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like maybe he would have struck out in his first at bat.
Okay, but hold on. Wade Boggs used to take the first pitch at every bat.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't matter what it was. Right? Didn't matter if it was right down the pipe. Never swung at the first pitch ever. Right? What if he went up and said, I know I'm going to take a pitch clock violation. I can hear it. I know that people
just
are going to be, goodness, I'm just going to take it. So what? He's not going to say, man, I struck out. I'm so disappointed I got a pitch clock violation. You know the rules. Like, you know, it's like I'm trying to think of another sport where you go, I'm willing to do this. I know what it means, but I'm doing this for the larger, thing.
I don't know.
It's like in basketball where they go, let's bring the girl or the guy on with the broken leg and let them score the first basket.
I was going to say, I mean, it's not, obviously it's not remotely similar, but is it kind of similar to the effect of when teams were purposely taking a 24-set clock violation after Kobe Bryant had passed?
Yeah, sure. Right. Yeah.
where they knew that they were doing, but they were doing it on purpose.
They were doing it on purpose. So, like,
and then the next guy took an 8-second violation for not throwing the ball in a time.
Yeah. So I don't.
I was loving that, by the way.
I don't think the guy. I don't think the guy should be like disappointed. He just like I loved it, but I think baseball has to stand by this because they'll say, look. Rob Manfred, our spokesperson for baseball, could go, we get it. Like, we totally get it. But what if a guy hits two home runs in a game and the crowd wants to give him a standing ovation? Do we pause for that? What if the guy got a hit and he'd been hitless in 20 games?
Right.
And they give him a standing ovation for that next time he comes up. Do we pause it for that? What other creations could our crowds create? Situationally,
right? No,
I know. Down the
That's
game.
Why I said I know it's a slippery slope.
And if we say, "Oh, it's only for this," and then somebody goes, "Well, what about this? It's similar, okay?" And then what about this? It's kind of similar. Like you, when you did this a while back, it was Cody Bellinger returns to the Dodgers,
Dodger Stadium,
and they gave him a standing ovation. And baseball should pause. Yep. Right? That was okay. Now it's a guy that's been in the minors and now he's 33 making his major league. I could come up with 50 other things that would make you go, yeah, yeah, all right, we could do that too. Could do that
or,
too.
Or, you know, it could be a pitcher.
If a pitcher
steps off the mound and you're like, that was the third time, or something, you know.
It could be a player that had to leave for a week because his daughter was having surgery.
Yes.
And he comes back and they give, and she could have. Clean bill of health, and they could, or wife is struggling through cancer, and he had to leave for that, and she got, she was found that she didn't have cancer anymore. Whatever it is, you could find a million reasons to give applause to players for their personal stories, and if you're baseball, you got to go, yeah, we get it, but this is it. We can't do it. Like, we're not going back to what we were. This is working. People like it. And I can create a story for every one of these guys. But I agree. It was a special moment last night.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he soaked it in. To be honest with you, I'll take the violation. I'm never getting this again.
Take the strikeout. If I struck out on two pitches, really.
I'm good. I'm glad he did it. Because, man, you ain't going to enjoy that 30, moment. Walk around enjoy it.
13 seasons.
That's
in the minor
wild.
League. That's dedication too.
That is not giving up on your dreams.
Yeah,
man.
And we all know that minor leaguers don't make anything.
Yeah, no kidding. That's great. What a great story. 33. That's awesome. Great story. All right, we'll continue with the dumb. I'm good, bad, the dumb.
I hear something saying.
This is Wake Up Call. On the SportsMap Radio Network, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We're doing 1960s songs on a Throwback Thursday today. By the way, if you're new to Throwback Thursday, we pick whatever anniversary on this date is. We go back to the time of the music. Now, sometimes we'll do a theme for music. So if it's a bigger anniversary of something, we might do a theme like opening day for baseball. We'll do baseball songs. What are some of the other ones that we've done in the past?
Oh, God. We've done toys. Yeah. We've done, TV shows.
But mostly if there's an TV anniversary, show theme songs, we like, go back into the Billboard Top 100.
Yes.
For that year.
These songs are all hits of the 1960s. I was looking at a YouTube. I was trying to find another song.
Uh-huh.
And there was a video, and it's Dick Clark. Introducing this artist, I can't remember his name. We're not using the song, by the way, but he's introducing an artist on American, I don't know if it was American Bandstand or something, but it's 1960.
Golly,
Dick. It just reminds me of, like, Dick Clark was in the show business thing forever.
Forever. And he had that reputation of looking young. That was a big thing, that he was a certain age, and you go, what? No way. Guy looks 35.
How is that even possible?
Exactly. You and I have asked this question a few times. When does ABC go, it's no longer Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest?
I don't think
Seacrest.
They're going to.
It's Ryan Seacrest's New Year's Rockin' Eve.
I think it's just going to be called Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve with
can
Ryan Seacrest.
Can you imagine
Seacrest.
Being Ryan Seacrest at 50, 60 years old doing that and going, can I get top billing on? Nope.
Isn't he that old now?
Yeah, I know.
How old is Ryan?
He'd be like, can this be my? Nope. I got an audience that doesn't even remember Dick Clark. Nope, too bad. It's Dick Clark's. Oh, really? Okay. No, because I am Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, Ryan Seacrest is 48.
48? What?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious, he's an old man now.
December 24th, 1974.
My God, he's an old man. You know what that means when you get in that business, in that young thing? You better be Dick Clark. They move you on to other things.
Yeah,
when you get a certain age, you can't be as hip anymore when you're talking to a 21-year-old pop star.
Ryan Seacrest personifies if you can be anything in L.A., you have a chance of making it big.
Yep, that's right.
Because he was just a radio show host on a probably fourth-rated station in L.A. Maybe, yeah. I'm being generous.
He came from Georgia.
In L.A., he was on this radio station called 98.7. Or the calls, the numbers were 98.7. And they just played, pop hits of whatever was going on. And he was able to turn that into what he is today.
Unbelievable. The only time I ever got mad at NBC when they had the Olympics in London, and he was doing Olympic stuff. And I said, that's ridiculous. There are good people in our business that should be over there covering sports. He to throw him out there to do these fluffy interviews, that's insane. Like, he doesn't have to do everything in the business. There were good young sports journalists who could have done that too. But he's got a name, so whatever. All right, we're doing a good, bad, and the dumb. We did the good, the bad, and now it's time for the dumb. And you said it's going to be good?
I said the dumb, yes. Or the dumb of the day is you're going to either go one of two ways with this.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be the latter is going to spark your interest a little bit more.
Okay, very good.
And basically what I'm saying is, it's just another sign that boxing is dead.
Oh, okay.
Right? And which we've talked about many a times, that boxing isn't what it used to be for our father, what our fathers watched or what our grandfathers watched.
It was the important sport. But you go back a century, it was the most important.
Yeah. Game. So now, it's an exhibition match coming up, but Floyd Mayweather is set to have an exhibition bout.
Okay.
And it's all looks but certain that it's going to be against a guy who was a former MMA fighter. That's how you know that boxing is dead.
Yeah, when they bring in the MMA fighters.
But it's the guy who I think is going to be a jumping off point for you.
Okay.
Because the fighter that he's going to face is John Gotti III.
Oh, really? John Gotti III?
John Gotti III.
Is an MMA fighter?
Or a former MMA fighter now turned by. I don't really know what he is. And that's not the important thing. The important thing is that it's John Gotti III, who is the grandson of John Gotti.
Of the late Teflon Don.
Or someone who might still be alive? He'd be dead by now. No, but
John Gotti?
Yeah.
John Gotti died in prison. but that's wild.
John Gotti died in prison, but John Gotti Jr. is
John
the
Gotti
one.
John Gotti Jr.
Or the second. I don't know how you're keeping score here is the one that, turned evidence?
Oh, yeah, right. That's right. Yeah, his dad is.
Yeah, his dad. Pretty much.
They all do eventually.
And that's why
they
I said I think this
big,
is more
big bravado, and then they when push comes to shove, they do it.
I think that's more of the jumping off point because it's just I don't know. I mean, if you're Floyd, do you want to take on a former mafia grandson?
I don't know if you do or not. I don't know, or if you do, win, but win with like a lot of class.
Right,
Floyd. What is Floyd Mayweather doing with this?
I don't know. It's an exhibition bout, so it's not going to count against his.
I get it.
But the thing is, it's not going to count against his record.
Right.
So he'll remain 50-0.
Do we have any more information on John Gotti III?
Yeah, guys, I told you, you're more interested in him, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm looking him up now. Like, how old is he?
I don't think he's that old.
Yeah, I was going to say, all right, because I'm looking him up right now. John Gotti, all right. They got pictures of him. My God, he looks. I wouldn't want to fight him.
No, he's huge.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's 29. Mm-hmm. He was 29 a year ago, so he's going on 30 in September. So, all right.
I went to. I was in Wikipedia already, so I went to John Gotti III. Up pops up John A. Gotti.
John Gotti, man.
John Gotti, crime boss.
Hey, man, there was a story where one of John Gotti's kids got hit by a guy on an accident. Like, guy backing out of a driveway. and then that guy never seen again. That's how ruthless John Gotti was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So John Gotti III, the grandson, will fight Floyd Mayweather. By the way, Floyd Mayweather has never worn the same pair of underwear twice.
Yeah.
Buys
I don't know who was there was a underwear. There was a fight recently. I can't even remember because that's how much I'm in tune with the boxing and MMA and whatever that stuff. But Floyd Mayweather was there and he was wearing $1 million hat.
Oh, a hat that cost $1 million.
A hat that just cost $1 million.
Was it studded with diamonds?
It was
and gold?
Studded with diamonds.
Golly, it's great.
I mean, he literally has money to burn.
You know what he reminds me of? Remember Richie Rich?
Yes.
Cartoon character?
Of course.
Like, so you watch Richie Rich and it was always, the whole cartoon was really nothing more than Richie Rich showing off his fun toys to all of his friends. And they would, I don't know, solve a crime or something. I don't remember. But it was always like, he had a basketball court with robot players. That's Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather is like, how can I show you how rich I am? I'll just do stuff and have stuff. To just show, you know, I'll just have $1 million hat, or I'll have this expensive thing, or I'll order the most expensive food and give it away. Like I just want to show. All I want to do is show you how rich I am. That's it. And I'm a talented boxer who's made a lot of money. But mostly, I want people to know is I'm very, very wealthy, and that's it. I'll wear $1 million. How do you get $1 million hat? Well, you stud it with everything that's valuable.
Yep.
You put everything that's valuable on the hat. So, okay. Well, that's awesome. I don't know. Again, I don't know. That you might be right. I don't know if it's dumb, but it's. I don't know why either one of these
it's,
people are doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I guess John Gotti III just wants to get his name out there, or is
sure,
there?
I can see why he wants.
Is there
to
a Gotti movie coming out, or a Gambino crime family movie coming out?
Didn't John Travolta play John Gotti in a movie? Bad. It was a bad movie, but
sounds about right. I mean.
Yeah. John Gotti, man. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, there you go. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb.
I know.
Here
I was looking
Thursday.
At that. Did you know what he got arrested for or was convicted of in 1992?
Who, John Gotti? The
John Gotti, the original John Gotti.
Okay, is it like Al Capone?
Well, no. He,
tax evasion?
No, he got, no, it's just, I mean, it's, I'm just going to read you the list.
Okay. Oh, I got you. Okay.
Okay. He was convicted of 5 murders, conspiracy to commit murder, racketeering, obstruction of justice, tax evasion, illegal gambling, extortion, and loan sharking.
Oh, my God. Of course.
And then was, you know, life in prison without parole.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
no, seriously,
just,
that's what they get most of
these guys. It's just a list. Yeah. I know, it's tax evasion, because that's
evasion.
What brought Al Capone down.
That's Al Capone down. That's what I always tell people. Pay your taxes. The Al Capone killed a lot of people, but they got them on taxes.
But one thing you can say about these guys, I mean, they were faithful to their wives.
Yeah. That's...
He was only married to one person.
Yeah.
So was John A. Gotti.
I would use faithful loosely.
What are you talking about?
They didn't bounce around in marriage. Didn't they have the Real Housewives of Mob Bosses or something like that on
TV? I thought that was the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Yeah. That might be the case. All right, we'll get back to the draft. Tonight's thoughts on who's going where. We continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, 1960 on Throwback Thursday, the Minneapolis Lakers go to Los Angeles, become the LA Lakers, and the rest is history. Draft tonight, Carolina picking 1, Houston 2, followed by Arizona, Indianapolis, and Seattle. The Jets and the Packers have traded and swapped first-round selections. The Miami Dolphins don't have a first-round pick because of tampering
cheating.
With Tom Brady. Mess around and get caught, Miami Dolphins. This is what we do to you. That's okay. Dolphins are like, that's okay. We'll load up with experienced talent. We're good.
Yeah, I got sad breaking news.
What
just came across my
note. Just came across the wire?
Just came across. Well, I guess it was 9 minutes ago.
Are you
making
a joke about the Dolphins, and now you're bringing me something sad?
No. I mean, it's kind of, I guess, I don't think it's relevant. I don't know. But Jerry Springer died.
Jerry Springer just died?
Yeah. 79.
Okay, all right. Well, I was going to ask how old he was.
Yeah.
Given that his claim to fame and his popularity really spiked close to 30 years ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
So 79 would have put him at 49 when he became famous?
When that show did its thing?
Yeah.
I still, to this day, can't tell how many of the shows had paid actors.
I am I'm with you. I want to believe what they say, which is we don't have to get actors. These people actually do exist.
Yeah.
We could find them in America, believe
me. I can find the truth in that. Yeah. But at the same time, when you watched them on stage, they were so outlandishly bad.
Sure.
At presenting their case or whatever it might have been, that it was like they have to be reading from a script.
Oh, I know. The ones where they were like, I married a horse. Like,
right.
All right. Somebody's playing a part.
You know, I identify as a baby and I need my diaper changed.
Yeah,
and you're a 38-year-old man.
I will have to say, man, I will have to say the people, I don't want to give them too much credit. I mean, it was trash TV, man, but it really was. They were at least smart enough to go, we ain't going to be competitive against everybody else doing the same old
stuff. It started off like trying to be like a legit talk show, right?
Exactly. They were trying to do what everybody else was doing. They were trying to do what Geraldo and Phil Donahue,
yeah,
Sally, Jesse, Raphael. They were all those people that were like, teenage prostitution is a problem in America. And they would break it down, have doctors on, have people on to really cause what's the root of the problem, how do we fix the problem, those kind of shows, or drug use or anything else like that. And then they tried to do that. They tried to be like, hey, you know what, domestic abuse is a problem in America, and how do women get out of terrible abusive relationships? And people went, well, that's the same thing that's on this channel, same thing that's on this channel. And then they found one thing that was so outrageous, and then they realized that, oh, goodness, people liked that. Let's give them a little more.
Yeah, it was like Maury. What do we know Maury for now? Maury had tried to have a legit talk show, but what do we know him most for? You are not the father.
Exactly.
You are the father.
Find your niche of outrageousness and ride with it.
Felt like every show was that or cheating.
But like a drug addiction or an addiction to anything that where you have to just get more and more and more and more and more, where you go from, I'm going to go from this little drug to black tar heroin by the time I'm done with this. It was, they had to find things more outrageous than what they were doing, right? So they'd get the guy in the diaper. Oh, goodness gracious, the guy's good. And then they would find, they'd be, I married my cousin. Now I married my mother. Now, like, all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, these are getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And then everybody wanted to fight. And they took it to television gold. Because people didn't say, this is outrageous. They went, yeah, actually, I kind of like this. I'll watch more of this. And especially when you had a young audience, a young college level audience that was eating it alive. I mean, Jerry played it great because he wasn't selling the nonsense. He always acted like he was above it all. Like he was like, oh God, what is? He was just like, I don't know, why are they? I'm just standing here hosting a show, and look what I'm doing here. And he became a celebrity, like huge, huge. He was the mayor of Cincinnati.
He was for one year.
And he became a major, major television force.
I was also looking
here.
Did you know that he was elected to the Cincinnati City Council in 1971?
No.
But he resigned in 1974 after admitting to soliciting a prostitute.
Oh, okay, I got you. All right, that's always something like that. Wasn't he a TV anchor, too? Didn't he do TV news or something? I don't know. I might be thinking of the wrong person. Might be somebody else. Well, anyway, rest in peace, Jerry Springer. That's breaking news this morning.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the NFL draft tonight. In Houston, what's the buzz? Is there still a feeling Joel Blank had for us yesterday, which was quarterback, no, defensive guy, yes?
It still feels like everyone is kind of leaning towards quarterback. But, you know, these guys will also be the first ones to come out and go, but I wasn't surprised that they took a defensive player.
It's such a weird situation to be in if you're the Texans.
Yeah.
Like we were saying earlier, all you had to do was lose that last game, and this is a no-brain pick.
Yeah, You know, we could have had, we could have known this for a month by now.
Now you put yourself in the position where you have the 2 and the 12, and you don't know how this is going to play out, but you run the show, right? Like, you are dictating. Like, if you love Bryce Young, but you don't love the other three, then you shouldn't take a quarterback at 2 just to take him.
No,
don't do it.
And honestly, what if Carolina surprises everyone and goes Will Levis?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
that's true.
Honestly, if that is to happen, and then, you know, the Texans, I mean, is it a gold mine? I can't help but think it's like the number 2 pick is literally like a cursed pick.
Yeah. If they were to land Bryce Young at 2, then it makes the draft a little easier for them, because then they mm-hmm. go, all right, there's nothing we can do. That's the guy we liked. We didn't think we'd get him, but that's the guy we liked. So now we get him. Now we got to figure out what's going to be there at 12 if we're going to build D'Amico Ryans' defense, because, you know, we do want to get him and get him something to work with.
You know, honestly, what if nothing does happen, right? What if it is, say, Bryce Young goes to Carolina and, you know, Houston goes defensive player, and then Arizona, no one is able to make a trade with Arizona. Arizona just picks up whatever they pick up.
Right. The second defensive player.
You start to, and then all of a sudden, I think you start to see some of these quarterbacks that people are expecting to go top 10. They might fall.
They might fall unless people move up to get them, but there might be a point where they don't.
Yeah. I mean, will we have an Aaron Rodgers situation where, you know, guys just sitting in a green room? Round after round.
You might have that with Anthony Richardson or Will Levis. I don't know. We talked about this yesterday. What do we still think? I guess I still think it's bravado that Will Levis is telling people he's going to be number 1 tonight. I think it's still just.
But then he came confident. Out. Then he came out and said, "Don't believe everything you read on the internet."
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And like, well, wasn't you the one who said it?
He's the one that's saying it.
Don't believe it, Tony. Don't believe the words that are coming out of my mouth.
I'm very curious. The Bears are picking 9 after moving down, getting Carolina's pick.
Yep.
The Eagles actually have 2 picks in round number 1. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they have the 31st pick, and then they are also picking 10th. Again, Tennessee at 11. Green Bay moved up to 13. I wouldn't be surprised if they get a wide receiver.
There's another team that has 2 picks.
Besides Houston
and Eagles. Is it Detroit?
It is Detroit. Detroit does have 2 picks. Detroit is picking, as I quickly glance here, they're picking 18th, but they're also picking 6th. So 6 and 18.
That's another team to look on, saying, you know, I don't think they're going to trade out of the 6, but they could say we don't really need the 18 if we can get, you know, two or three second rounders or, I mean, whatever it might be.
The Steelers have the number 1 pick in round 2, which is not bad. That's not a bad place.
No, that's not bad.
You know what it is? It's the 32nd pick in the draft.
Yeah.
All right? It's because of the forfeit of Miami. So you can still find first-round level value there. Look at the way I'm spinning it.
Yeah,
I
love it.
I'm spinning it. You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. You can get a first-round player at a second-round price. Does that make sense?
It helps with your cap space.
You think his agent, the kid's agent, is going to be like, well, he is a 32nd pick in the draft. Yeah. So shouldn't he get round 1 money? Yeah, but we took him in round 2. Yeah. Yeah, but the only reason you took him in round 2 is because there was no picks in
round 2. I know, but do you see
Too
the
bad.
2?
You see the 2 next to the name?
The 2 right there?
That's the price.
You know. Just go check his wiki page. His wiki page will say draft round 2.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they could say. They could actually be rude about it and go, you know, for the rest of his life, he's never going to be known as a first-round pick.
He was a first-round pick. No.
You are the ones that are going to have to change his Wikipedia page to 32nd pick overall and have everybody kind of do the math in the future that there were 32 teams.
Yeah.
But he's never going down as a first-round pick. Oh, interesting. Interesting. Arizona at 3. I wonder if they'll stay there. I wonder if they'll stay there, because I know that the Colts are going to be looking back and going, who wants to move up and get it? We'll continue. Hour 3 is coming up next. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.